Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
Since 2005 and until a couple of years ago, Gary has been the primary carer for his son Christopher, who is quadriplegic with cerebral palsy. These days, he and Christopher are accessibility ambassadors and active members of the Apple Consultants Network, introducing people to the incredible accessibility features built into all Apple devices. Gary and his two grandchildren live on Queensland's Sunshine Coast.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We just thought everybody listening would like to know it's still cold in Melbourne.
It's July. Nothing much changes.
I'm sure it's August, actually.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Mandy can only live in the now.
Yep. Okay.
It's August and it's cold.
Yes, freezing.
But we love it.
It's what I always laugh about when I see Americans, because August is their big summer month, you know, and they're like, oh, August, it's so hot. And we're like, oh, August is our freezing.
It's our freezing. Yeah. It's our proper winter month.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's where the snow comes on the mountains and everything happens in August.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway, we're very, very, very excited to speak to today's guest.
Yeah, so how about you say hello and introduce yourself?
Well, I can say that, hi, for a start.
Hi.
Fantastic to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course.
I'm feeling a lot older than I was about 10 minutes ago because suddenly I have grandchildren.
I heard that, grandchildren.
What did I say, grandchildren?
It sounded, in the way you pronounced it, sounded like he has two grandchildren. And then I was thinking, I don't think he has grandchildren.
Sorry,
but
grown children.
That's it, yeah.
Not as in grown, as in... So they're growing up.
Yes, okay.
Well, that's fine. It's nice. I mean, I'd be very happy to be a grandie, but I'm not. And unless there are grandies I don't know about, then
you never know. But grown children.
Anyway,
it's no wonder
we
had to go back and re-record the book.
Yeah, this is why I'm going back today to re-record the audiobook.
No, what a surprise. Okay. So 23 and 25.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rowan.
And it's, after all of that, it is wonderful to join you. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how impressed I am with what you two have pulled off in this last year? It's been a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been two years.
Yep.
Two years.
Okay. It feels like a year because the lockdown year.
Yeah.
Feels like when it was all really happening. Yeah.
But Gary and I have a podcast history, and we might get into that a little bit later.
Yes, we might. Let's start with our three questions.
Podcast history.
No, okay, podcast is a fail.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
So the first question is, do you have any songs or music or a band that either gets you up when you're feeling down, or when you're up and you want to listen to something happy, you choose that music?
Yeah, I do. I think probably when I need to relax and recharge, I prefer silence, to be honest, because sound can bother me and music, unfortunately, can do that. But when I'm in the right mood, I love some Ben Folds.
Oh, yeah.
And Still Fighting It is probably my favourite of his. I'm Not the Man. And there's all kinds of reasons why I like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ben Folds and his crystal cut glass voice, I love. And I kind of enjoy Of Monsters and Men as a band. I think they make a great sound.
Oh, cool.
But look, that's probably enough to talk about for now.
I don't know Of Monsters and Men.
Yeah, they're a Scandinavian group. Oh. And is it Sweden, Norway, Denmark, one of those, you know. And they make a great sound. Of Monsters and Men, if you want to check them out.
Well, my sister Annalise we have a 2P Spotify playlist. She'll add some of those songs onto that so people can listen. Yeah.
And would you believe Gregorian chants?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. There's something very relaxing about them.
Yes. Very soothing.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason they've been doing them for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. tell us about, did you win any awards at school?
Look, I'm old, so when I was at school, it wasn't the done thing to give everybody an award, so they were a bit harder to come by. That's my excuse. The only award I ever got was a joke-telling marathon award.
Wow!
This is going to be a long podcast, people.
So, and, you know, it was a knockout thing, and we went through about a whole day of people standing up doing stand-up comedy jokes, whatever. I was narrowed down to the last three, and I got it.
Sounds awesome. What a great competition.
It was good fun. It was good fun for somebody who's got zero skills on the, you know, sporting field. And it was fun. I think I've lost my edge.
You know, I think we need to bring it back, Gary.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think my ability to make people laugh had something to do with a survival technique in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a way of surviving.
Yeah.
And I got quite good at it. I got quite sharp, but you can lose your edge. Anyway, that's the only award I've ever won.
That's
in
a
school.
Good award.
We like that award.
Yeah. We do. Yep. Okay. And the big question, why are you a P?
I don't know.
I think you
but
do.
But we know.
Yeah, we know.
Well, does that mean, why have you asked me to talk yet?
No.
Yes. So why are you – a P is what we call a parent or a carer of a child with a disability. So,
okay. Well, as you said in your intro, my son Christopher, who's now 25, is quadriplegic with cerebral palsy, athetoid CP, which resulted from a profound brain injury at birth. Mm. And since he was about seven, I've been his primary carer. Mm. And he and I have had a lot of laughs over the years. And he and I are now kind of in business together. It's to do with, as you said in the intro, helping people to understand what accessibility features they might be missing out on in their Apple devices.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
That's awesome. So let's go way back. When Christopher was born, was he premature?
No, Christopher came on the day he was due.
Right.
No, look, I could start to talk to you about the birthing suite if you like. You guys not squeamish about these stories.
No,
not at all.
It all came down to, okay, so his mum, my wife Tamara, of the time, her waters broke about 11 p.m. on the night before he was due. We thought, okay, that's great. This is going to be an indication. We got into the hospital. We were there until about 9 a.m. with labor, and everything was going okay. until the fetal heart monitor began to show some pretty severe tachycardia. And the midwife who was in charge, who happened to be a family friend, and this made things very, very awkward.
Yes.
Noted it, said she'd told the doctor, and she turned the monitor off.
Oh, goodness, Gary.
So for over an hour, we had no indication of what was going on. Came around about 1 o'clock. It was getting – I could tell – look, I tend to trust medical professionals. I tend not to speak up because, you know, I think they probably are supposed to know what they're doing. And being the dad in the birthing suite, you know you're the lowest form of life so you don't really say much. Even maintenance people won't speak to you, you know, if you're No, that's an old joke.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything, but I could tell. Tamara by this time had an epidural and she was feeling no pain and she was feeling quite relaxed. I was looking around at the people coming and going and I could see the worried looks and I could I could catch the furtive glances. We didn't see a doctor until about 1 o'clock. Nobody came in. A young doctor came in and wanted to do a scalp test for pH and so on. By this time the monitor was on and he was going into terminal bradycardia. And even then, you know,
really?
Nothing was being done.
Because normally that's panic stations and
it should be.
You're being whisked and down to theatre.
Well, exactly. So at 1:17 p.m., a doctor happened to be passing and came in and asked what was happening, did a quick summary of what was going on and just quietly said, "Caesar." And everybody bolted, My memory of it is that it was, as you say, panic stations. Everybody shot out of the room, took Tamara, and there I was standing by myself, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. And I didn't know, your feelings, you assume the worst. One of them came back in and said, "Look, it's okay, we're doing the cesarean, just we'll let you know what's happening when it happens." Anyway, those 17 minutes between when the bradycardia started and when the Caesar happened were the 17 minutes that were crucial. And his oxygen starvation led to the brain injury. The midwife came back and said, "Okay, you have a son. There's been a few problems. He'll be okay. He's going into the special care unit." And it's funny, you know, when we were doing the antenatal classes, you know, you do those things and I was taking notes like a good dad to be, because this was our first.
Yes.
And the lady who was in charge, the don of the special care nursery, came in one session and said, "Now, if you see me, you know, there have been some problems and I'll tell you what goes on." And I thought, right, and I just closed my book. I thought, "Oh, well, we're not going to need you."
Yes, of course.
She was fantastic, as it turned out. But I saw them go rushing past the birthing suite with this trolley, and my memory is of a grey-looking blob on the trolley, but that can't be right. He must have been pink. Anyway, they shot past. She said, "There's been a few problems and we'll just catch you up as soon as we can." By the time I got in to see Tamara, I thought I was going to lose her, her first words to me were, "What was his APGAR?" And I kind of knew what that was. I said, "Oh, I don't know. I'll find out for you." And it turns out it was zero. You know, he had no life signs at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, they resuscitated him and he spent weeks in the special care nursery with what they said was a very big headache. And the poor little fellow was screaming, crying and crying. It was a brain injury was what the headache was, of course.
Oh.
So anyway, we found out not long after that it was cerebral palsy, and it's been, taken from there.
Wow. And you don't have to answer this, but did the hospital accept any responsibility or?
Yeah. A few people said to us not long afterwards, in the couple of years while he was, it was becoming clear what was happening. You probably need to – it was one of the staff, actually, who quietly said to me, "Don't say anything to anyone. Do not tell anyone I'm saying this to you, but you probably need to look into what happened, because I'm not saying anything, but it just doesn't look right to me." So we got independent assessments, and it turned out that a couple of things clearly had been done wrong. The hospital immediately acknowledged negligence and didn't fight that.
Right.
So then we got all the medical records, and we were able to find out what had happened, which in some ways was soothing or reassuring that we could see what had gone wrong. And then, yeah, we were able to understand it better. And we did then take the take Queensland Health to court over that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's a big discussion in our world, isn't it, about doing that. Yeah. And it's very, you know, it's challenging.
And sometimes it's more clear than others.
Yeah.
Right. And I think also the one of the important parts about doing it is so that people learn. Right. And, you know, and doesn't mean
and nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody likes litigation. Nobody wants to be doing that. And it took, I think it was 4 years to get an outcome. And I tell you what, that talk about trauma on top of trauma.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But if there's anyone listening who's considering it as an option, I do recommend that you explore it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you've got nothing to lose by exploring it. Be aware that it's going to be a costly process in terms of the emotions and all of those things. But in the end, there is something to be said for finding out exactly what happened and seeing if something can be done about it. In our case, Christopher was awarded a settlement, which has set him up not for life, of course. It's never enough for that.
No.
But see, don't forget, this was before the NDIS.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
And nobody had heard of such a thing. And I was fully expecting, by the time I'd been caring for Christopher for about 10 years, I was in a really not a good place, to be honest. I was fully expecting that I would be caring for him till I was disabled by old age, because that's what many parents, that's their story. That's what's
right. That's right.
And the settlement at least gave me some sense of assurance that when I did go, he would have that to fall back on. We didn't draw on that at all.
Wow.
Because that was for
the
future.
Oh, it's precious, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it was growing. And as he turned 18, he then took control of his own fund, because with Christopher's athetoid cerebral palsy, it's all physical impairment. There's no intellectual impairment. He's smarter than I am, which may not be saying a huge amount, but he's pretty smart. And he had to go through this full day of battery of tests to see whether he was capable of handling his fund, which is fine.
Yeah.
And he did. And so now he has charge of that. And so that, with the NDIS, you know, I can actually relax to a certain extent about his future.
Oh, Gary.
Well, that's huge.
It's enormous.
Yeah, enormous. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all of that, because there'll be so many of our peas that we haven't had a guest that talked about that. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, ask anything you want. I'm happy to talk about it or in the Hangouts group or whatever, because there's a lot there to talk about.
There really is.
But I do recommend, if you have a question about it at all, explore it. Don't shy away from it. You've got nothing to lose by exploring it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it is true.
Tell us about when you became his primary carer. What was that like, being a dad and a man in a probably female world?
Yeah, I've met some wonderful females.
Yeah, we're all right.
Yeah,
aren't
we're pretty great.
Yeah, like you guys. But you're right, I have found there are very few men that I know who have done this or who are doing it, and there are also all sorts of reasons for that. Some of them are very good reasons. It just doesn't work for some couples. I understand that. Christopher was 5 or 6, and his mum had been putting in a huge effort. She just really took it, took it and ran with it. Therapy at home, doing all the homework, doing the medical merry-go-round, all of those things. I was a very hands-on dad, and we used to share the load as much as we could. We'd take turns getting up at night to him, all that kind of thing, even though I was going to work. Happy, very happy to do that. That was, she couldn't have stopped me. So that was good. But, and including bringing Christopher's sister into the world a couple of years before that, she just sat me down one day when I came home from work, and she just said, I can't do this anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sorry, guys, this will come back to me later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she said, I can't do this anymore. And I said, well, look, I understand. Why don't we swap roles for a while? I'll take over. You do something else, and we'll see what we can work out. Because I was, to be honest, I was ready to give up work anyway. And I could see what was happening, and I knew that I could help. So
yep.
So
well,
it took about
more power to her.
I know,
because I have a lot of friends who have never said it and have been in. You know, Mandy and I have been really, really worried about them.
Very.
So, yeah,
well,
good on
her.
Well,
she's always been better at being honest about that sort of thing and self-care than I have. And you're right. You're right. She said exactly the right thing.
She did.
And thank
you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Some partners husband, don't listen.
That's
right.
Well, a man steps up, right? I mean,
well, some men.
Most partly. Of them don't, Gary. So
yes,
that's why I'm so proud
from
to know.
From all the P-mums, we say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that. I know it's not always easy or possible for men to find an opportunity to even do that. You know, and the income is dependent in some circumstances
that's true.
On the man, and he doesn't have the option. So, I did read the statistic, and you guys can correct me if this is wrong or someone in your audience, but I think that about 3% of primary carers for children with disability are men.
Wow, yeah.
And you're right, Mandy, I haven't bumped into many
folks
at playgroups or whatever over the years, and that has made me question some things, you know, what's strange about me, how come I'm doing this and most blokes don't, but that's another story perhaps. Anyway, so it took about 12 months or so for me to extract myself from work and for her to find an alternative. She went back to uni, got her nursing degree, and she's now got a brilliant career as a nurse. She's done so well. And once I got started, guys, I didn't seem to know how to quit.
Yes, well.
And I should have.
I know.
Because I got to the point where I couldn't do it anymore either. But I kept doing it.
Yep.
Yeah,
I know.
And I had to.
So it was about 10 years in and, you know, I was doing his homeschool. I was doing by the time he got to year 12, he did TAFE instead of. Yeah. Grade 12. But so we were doing all of that and I just couldn't picture, I don't have a lot of imagination anyway, I think, but I couldn't imagine a future. I couldn't see a future where this was not going to be the way it was forever. So I got myself into a dark spot and I wasn't able to say to his mum, you know, it's time I stopped doing this. And I
also because anyway, you love him.
Yes.
Right? And so
of course.
How do you one of the people that's most precious to you, I need a break. That's really hard.
Yeah, but you said it before. If you have to, you have to.
You
and
do.
She did,
you should. I know. I agree.
And I probably would have been better if I did. I mean, I didn't see any alternatives.
Yes.
I will tell you, if I have to die tomorrow, I've said this on stage a few times with Christopher, if I have to die tomorrow, I will know that I have, you know, given my all and done my best.
Yes.
And Christopher always responds then and says, don't die tomorrow.
yes.
But anyway, so look, there's a whole story there too about
there really is.
Not get yourself into that dark space, which is where I was. And anyway, I got out of it.
Yeah, pull yourself out of it?
Yeah.
Well, I got some help. And the help helped. I got to some therapy with a brilliant counsellor, and we started to use some of Christopher's funds then to have one day a week with a support worker coming in, which helped, and you know, a few things like that. And I guess I basically had to confront my own, you know, where I was going to go with this, and I basically decided I was going to keep doing it, and that helped, and I found ways. By that stage, you know, Christopher was old enough, like he must have been 17, I guess, at the time. He was old enough to be beginning to do some things for himself.
Yes.
Which gave me a little bit of a glimmer.
Yeah.
Like he was beginning to edit video himself on his computer. He was beginning to talk about creating videos that he could make and share. He was beginning to have conversations with people about the way he was solving his problems. And I was watching him, you know, and I was thinking, this guy is, you know, this is brilliant. And I want to be part of this too.
Yeah.
This is the good bit coming now. And I want to be part of it. So that helped.
Yeah.
And also the internet was starting to boom then, right? So previous to that, there was a black hole in communicating with people. And I think that's when we met each other. We're in a private cerebral palsy group of parents. We won't say what it's called because it's very secret.
Yes, yes.
That was an amazing group when it started. Mm. Yes, Gary. People
but
really.
Yeah, the internet was certainly a big deal, wasn't it? I mean, yes. Now you can actually have a voice that goes around the world.
Yes.
Like 2013 was the year that changed everything for us. That was the year that Apple brought out Switch Control.
Right. Mm.
And with that, so Christopher now controls his devices by tapping a switch with his head on his headrest on his wheelchair. And he's able to do everything with that you or I could do and better with his Switch on a computer, either with a keyboard or a mouse or a touch screen, and he can do everything. So that changed everything. But the big moment for us that was it was mind-blowing for me, he made this video for his TAFE teachers to explain to them how he was doing his TAFE work online, how he was using his computer just to explain it to them rather than have me call them and tell them. Mm. So he did that. I set up the camera and the mic and he went through and explained how he was using a switch and he sent it to them. And that was that. Then a couple of days later, one of the tech podcasters that he was watching posted a question online about what is the best operating system for people with disabilities. And so he just sent him his 5-minute video to say, hey, this is what I think. And then the guy shared it with his network. And we woke up the next morning and turned on his Mac and there were, you know, the thing almost crashed. There were so many. Oh. It had been shared overnight with 50,000 people.
Yeah, goosebumps. Overnight. Yeah.
Amazing.
Now, you talk about internet.
Yeah.
Now, he said, I was just sharing my story. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, that's the power.
You know, this could be so powerful. Mm. And he was getting interviewed, you know, by online tech bloggers and, Engadget magazine and whatever. And that really was what got him going. And there was an Apple employee in Sydney who was in charge of accessibility for the Pacific region. She saw the YouTube video and then contacted us and it went from there. But you're right to say that there are opportunities now that didn't exist even 10, 15 years ago
for people. Yes.
Yeah, and thank goodness that we have all this technology and that it's, you know, we even have beautiful families listening that live in rural Australia and it's so lonely because there's no one in their community that reflects their family, but yet they can get on board, they can listen to podcasts, they can go in the hangout, they can FaceTime groups and
YouTube,
it's just a game changer.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think the fact that you guys have been able to achieve what you have proves that, yeah.
Well, it just, two middle-aged women.
Yeah, with no clue.
Truth, with no,
no clue. Just, but, I mean, even we couldn't have done this 10 years ago.
No.
This technology wasn't around for us.
Well, when did you dabble in the podcast, Gary? What year was that when you made that episode?
Oh, that's a good question, Mandy. It must have been 2016, 17, something like that?
So,
2017, I think.
So you made, tell us what it was called.
Well, we got to the point of a pilot, didn't we?
Yep.
I was calling it Not the Parent I Thought I'd Be.
Mm.
And the idea was to talk with parents of children, particularly with cerebral palsy at the time, and to just explore how it was that becoming a parent of a child with cerebral palsy meant that they became a parent they didn't expect to.
Yeah.
And, I was going to just chat with parents about that and, I think for various reasons it just didn't fly, but that's okay. It was a good chance to give it a try. And you guys have shown that there is a winning formula, and it's basically named Kate and Mandy. That's the formula.
Well, I was very proud.
There's room for everyone.
I was very proud to be on that episode, and
thank you.
Yeah, and I really, really was, and I just.
I'm sorry I stole her.
Yeah,
off you.
We tried, but at the time I was a bit overwhelmed. To be
Me
able
too.
To do that with you. That's right.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is that there is what I want, and whether you can do it or not, is a dad's two peas in a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think you could do it and whatever that could be. But I think if there's a space for men to be able to talk with men, that's we need it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so we will cheer you on if that's something that you want to do. But if you don't, it's okay. But we will cheer you on and support you.
Yep. So what?
Let's talk about it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just, yeah, the seed is there.
Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What was your career pre-carer?
In a past life, I was a church pastor.
Mm. You've got the voice. You have you a beautiful pastor's voice.
You do have the voice for a three-part sermon.
Yeah, really? that's funny, you know, because neither of my kids ever saw me in that role. I left that when I took over Christopher's care.
Yes.
And a couple of years back, my younger sister, unfortunately, passed away, and so I was doing her funeral. Mm. And while I was standing up there doing the eulogy and so on, and afterwards, Christopher, he said to me afterwards, you know, Dad, I could just see you up there making religion look good.
Time for a comeback.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Oh, he sounds
so
hilarious.
That's the voice, is it? Thank you. Yeah, so I did that. I did that for about 20 years. I can't believe it. And then I really was ready to leave it when that time came. And since then, well, I've got a degree in education as a result of trying to keep my mind active over those years. I haven't really used that, so it's been a long time since I've been in the paid workforce. But now with the NDIS, Christopher has a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week support roster. So I don't. And he did say to me about 2 years ago. He said, "Dad, I want you to stop being my carer." Mm. And my first thought was, "Oh, okay. Why is that, mate?" And he said, "I just want you to be my dad."
No,
yes, so important.
And he was right. And so, and now it's possible. So it's not, I don't do that anymore. I'm looking for work because I'm now out of work. But he and I have a whole different dynamic going on in our relationship now.
What is that like? Sure. How did it feel when he moved out?
Oh, I had mixed feelings, of course. Obviously, I kind of felt suddenly, I did bury myself a bit in the role, and that was not a healthy thing, but it did totally consume me, and fortunately not to the exclusion of my daughter, who she and I get on so well, and she and the three of us are great, so I was very careful to try not to. I'm sure you've discussed this topic. I know you've mentioned
siblings.
It in your guilt episode and so on, but I made sure that so that's all good, but having lost myself in that role suddenly without it, I did go through some grief there, and there were some other griefs all happening at the same time, I'm still dealing with those, to be honest. But it's great, guys. I have to say, who doesn't want their kids to become independent and make their own way?
Oh, that's right.
And not need you anymore.
Everyone. So, that's the rite of passage that most people have.
Yeah.
So
it's
tremendous.
Right. And he's doing so well.
Oh.
Awesome.
He amazes me on a regular basis. His sense of humor is something that he and I have it's like it lubricates, you know, the gears as they're turning over the years.
Yes.
He and I have had a lot of laughs, and that has helped a lot. To this day, we still do.
Yes.
The best laughs ever.
Before coronavirus and all that stuff, you were traveling overseas with Apple, weren't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, he and I were both invited to become Apple accessibility ambassadors, which is
amazing.
It's not a paid role.
It's
an ambassadorial role, but it's been fantastic, the kinds of opportunities it's given us to go to conferences and seminars and workshops. And yes, we've been invited and we've spoken in Singapore and the US and the UK and all around Australia. We've been to Victoria quite a few times.
And luckily, we just, he's out.
Well, as you say, until the plague hit,
yes.
This was what we were doing.
Yes.
And we were probably traveling once a month.
Yes.
Negotiating airports and hotels all the dramas that come with that with disability, but diabetes and cerebral palsy and all the things that came with that. And I have to admit, it was pretty demanding, but it was also fantastic.
Yes.
So that stopped, with probably the beginning of last year. Since then, we've done some webinars, and that's been good. And we're now producing some training manuals to be used online. He also has another job, so he's doing very well. He's got a full-time income.
Fantastic.
Look, he's doing better than me on practically every measure. He's got a girlfriend.
Oh!
He's got work. His house is set up like the Starship Enterprise.
Oh!
He's being creative and making a difference. He's got friends and colleagues all around the world.
Oh.
You know, look, on every measure.
So proud.
So that's been great. And we are still in the accessibility consultants network, and we get some opportunities with that. I don't want to make this an ad for Apple because that's not what this is, but.
No, go ahead.
Shout out
we don't care. I just want them to pay you.
Look,
well, they do
iPads
sometimes.
Changed the lives of neurodiverse children, without a doubt.
Oh.
Game changes. If you can sit in
Absolutely.
A room and you're aware of what's going on, but you have that comfort of an iPad with you, I love them.
And if you can use a device that everyone else is using,
there's
no neon sign over your head saying, I'm using special, assistive technology here.
And isn't that what we're always searching for our kids?
And everyone at school can be doing a different activity.
Yes.
So you're all still on the iPad, but you're all doing different things.
It has been a game changer.
It has.
And it's not just the fact that it's a tablet either, because there are lots of tablets out there, and that's great. It's good that you can make a choice. But it's the fact that Apple, for some reason, this is in their genetic makeup, for some reason, they have always had a commitment to accessibility that others haven't.
Mm.
Others are catching up, and it's good that there are developments. But, you know, whether you're blind or hearing impaired or intellectually impaired or physical motor skill impaired, there are features there that a lot of people don't even know about. They're free. They're built in. They come with the device. They work perfectly because they're with the device. And they give people access to a device, you know, much more broadly than you would even expect. So that has been a game changer as well for us. There's a new thing that's come out just last year that Christopher's very excited about called Head Tracker on the Mac.
Right.
And so the camera on the Mac now is he's able to do everything that you could do with a mouse or keyboard by just moving his face and using facial expressions. So you open your mouth or you smile or you stick your tongue out and that will, you know, be a left click or right click or whatever. So that has been a brilliant – that is a game changer too. So these things really have been tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nobody's – anyway.
No, and it's great that he is smart enough and loves it and uses it to make his life better, which is what we all do with technology.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we often come across people who say, well, how can you help me to make this device work for me? And we have a conversation about what the issue is and maybe what the feature might be that will help. A lot of people don't follow up on it. I don't know whether putting in the effort is the right term because people are struggling with energy and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But often we'll find that they don't make the most of it, and that's their choice. But yes, he has made the most of it, and he is very keen to help other people get the best out of their devices and their life.
Awesome.
Too.
Yeah, and that's – I don't know, there's just certain people that are like that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you'll meet 10 people and one of them's like, do you know you could do this? And you're like, oh, wow. And it just changes your whole life. they're the best people.
Yeah.
I love learning from smarter people than
Yes, me too.
And so through all of this, like when you left being a minister, did you leave your faith or has your faith come through this with you?
No, I haven't maintained a faith, but And people have asked me this a number of times over the years, particularly the people I used to know in
that circle.
Has Christopher's birth made you lose your faith or turn your back on God? That kind of question. And that's a fair question because I know for many people that's possibly has happened. No, I was already at a point where it made no sense to me anymore to believe the things that I once did. And that's not – I'm not trying to convince anyone anything. I just can't believe it. It's not that I don't believe it. It's that I can't.
Yes, there's a very big difference there.
There is, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And I can't tick that box anymore on my CV and go back to doing that kind of work.
No, no.
They do tend to prefer that you believe in God.
I know.
I found it's just, you know, it's discriminatory, but I found that they won't. They don't want you there if you don't believe in God.
It's true.
I mean, I realize this is a real issue for people because, you know, your faith is such a personal and important thing.
Yes.
And if that gets challenged by suddenly being thrown into this whirlpool with disability and extra needs, then that is really a crisis. And I do recommend if people are having that crisis to treat it seriously and to realize that it is the kind of thing that you don't have to be ashamed of. There is grief there. There is uncertainty. There are things that really can derail you. And it's important to talk to someone about that. I'm glad you guys have both done that. And I know for many people it is an issue. I had already developed a very well worked out theology of the powerlessness of God before I gave up on God. Trust me.
Yes.
You don't want to go into that here. This is not a philosophical, theological podcast.
No, but I was thankful to have you sometimes to talk to about that, Gary, because it feels very, I felt lonely.
It's very lonely.
Yeah. And we talk about it in the book that's coming out because we haven't really spoken about it in detail on the podcast because we wanted to write about it and actually take our time because I'm quite impulsive. I'm nervous to say things. So I thought if I just write it.
I feel that we can – the irony of religion, and I know that I have friends listening who have a beautiful relationship with God, is that by me speaking my truth, I hurt them.
Yes.
Whereas if you say to me, oh, I believe in, I don't know, this certain religious belief, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You can't hurt me by what you believe. But by what I believe, I hurt people I love.
Yes.
And that's a big burden to carry every day.
Yes.
And I feel that my decisions are hurting people that I love and that's hard.
Mm.
So it's nice when you meet someone else who's been through that.
Yes.
And you know what? There are a lot of people who've been ostracized by their families and their friends because they no longer subscribe to a certain set of beliefs. They haven't changed at all.
No.
But I'm so glad it's in your book. I mean, those who struggle with this often wonder whether there's something wrong with them or whether they've suddenly let God or someone else down by struggling with faith. The nature of faith is that it's about questioning and seeking. And if your questioning and seeking leads you to a place like it has with me, then there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
That's actually a good thing. So, but yes, you're right. It has become an additional burden for some who are facing disability to have to deal with that too.
Very, very true. So do you have a dream job? Like if you could just click your fingers.
Yeah, because you never know about
something.
The peas. We've got a big audience. So tell us what's your dream job. Someone will get it for you.
Anything that involves no work and a beach. look.
You've aimed
honestly,
pretty high.
That's a pretty big hot,
You want to win Tet's Lotto.
Yeah.
I do want to retire.
Yeah. You must be tired.
I'm tired.
Yes, I bet you are.
I'm just tired. But I can't retire. I'm not old enough. And that's not honestly what I want to do. I just don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And I really feel tired a lot. So look, make me an offer, anybody who's listening.
Yes.
And that could be a very broad offer, you know. no judgment. You make any offer you want.
Totally.
I don't know. It's a good question though. It is one of my challenges. My dilemma is to figure out what to do with myself from here on.
Yes.
And I don't really know.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners will absolutely understand that.
Oh, yeah. And I think just general, and this is, you know, being very, very, I'm generalizing, but mothers, who stayed home with their children and made that their priority, they do, even if their children don't have disabilities, they lose themselves.
Definitely. Right?
And so you're probably on a road much less travelled because there's very few fathers who've done that. Then you add in the disability.
Yeah.
And so, but I know that there are just sad people because they're like, well, who am I now?
Yeah.
And we were so happy to be doing what we were doing. You know, it wasn't like you were like, I don't like this all the time, but it still, it just chips away at who you are and your self-confidence. So it's really hard to get back out there.
It very much becomes a part of your identity, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
How you see yourself and
yes.
what you know about yourself.
Well, it was your job.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm. And my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look what
and
you
I,
did.
As I, say,
I know,
this
but
awesome human that
I
you.
I mean, Christopher is thriving because
yes.
of that, Gary. Oh,
yeah, you should be
well,
so proud.
Partly because of that, let's say. Partly because of that. There are things innate within him that
of
he
course.
Might have thrived anyway. But
yes,
yes I hope that that's true. And he says that to people that the homeschooling was a big one. And I know that's a controversial area and it's certainly not for everyone. And it's not the sort of thing I would recommend, but it is what we chose.
Yeah, when and he started a lot of our P's do too. So
a lot of our P's.
Tell us what you want us to know.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. It's, well, you know why. The technology in the classroom when he started school was very, very primitive. And he has very severe speech difficulty and it's very difficult for people to understand what he's saying. So if he was with a teacher aide or somebody in his classroom, he just wouldn't have got a fair go at
all. No.
So we just decided, all right, I can do this. I'll take this. So we didn't homeschool. We home tutored through the Brisbane School of Distance Education. We're in Queensland.
Yep.
And that meant he was following the exact same curriculum as everyone else. And he had teachers who were doing the marking and all of the work, you know, and it was simply a role of being a tutor.
Yeah.
But what it did do was give me the opportunity to make sure that he got a fair go every day with his work. And it made, I do think it made a huge difference
in
terms of forming him as a person. And then he was then able to run with it from there.
Mm. Oh, look, I think if I had the capability, there are definitely times when I should have probably homeschooled the boys for a year or so, but I just probably didn't have the emotional strength to do it.
Of course.
But I do think that it's the education system's broken. So many of our Ps, many are homeschooling.
And Kate, don't feel that you should have done it. I don't think that's the way to put it. I think you would have if you could, and you couldn't. So there's no need for regret there or guilt. But you're right. If you look, who wouldn't if they had the chance or had the opportunity? Because it's such fun. Like we would spend the entire morning doing his day's worth of work. It only took a morning.
Yeah.
Because it's one to one and so on. And then we'd spend the afternoon, you know, out on the mowing the lawn or whatever on the acreage. And it was so fun. And his sister could see what was happening too. And she wasn't doing real well in the classroom for social reasons. So she took it on. And I was doing both of them
until
she went to year 10.
Wow.
And that was, it was wonderful. You know, I didn't have to miss them any day.
Oh, Gary.
Until she decided to go back to a classroom in year 10, and then I had to start missing her every day.
Yeah.
But it is a big topic, and I hope I haven't encouraged anybody to feel bad about what they've done.
No,
but
that's
what we did, and I'm so glad we did it that way.
No, I think there's options, and it's good to hear that it works for some people and it doesn't work for other people, but it's okay to explore them.
Yes, that's right. And it does. It can be fluid. It might be for a small amount of time or it could be a long amount of time or, you know, it can change.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can, you have to keep going if you can, if you have the strength to find out what works for your family. So,
goodness.
I'm far out, Gary. Quite the guy.
Oh, no, he's quite the guy.
And oh, goodness.
You've got a lot of empathy, and
he does.
Can just feel it in your voice. It's lovely.
Yes, and in our private group, he's a really important member, and a lot of people draw great strength from you as you do from them, Gary.
Thank you, Mandy. That group, I tell you, came at just the right time for me, though. You know, I was the only bloke in this group of 100 mums. You know?
Can you imagine?
And, you know, which made me feel really impressed about myself, you know. But I loved it and I needed it. And even yes. the fact that we could have a vent or a rant about something and know that it was only the other
yes.
parents who were yes. hearing it, and that was okay. It was amazing. And it did. I think it did save my life.
I think support groups, good ones like that, yes. that's what they do.
Well, it's quite specific. So, yeah.
Yes. Mm.
Is there anything we've missed, Gary, that you want to tell the world today?
If there are any dads listening to this, I would just say to them, mate, you are facing something in becoming the dad of children with extra needs that you didn't expect or ask for. You have the issues that men have in addition to the issues that all parents have. And, you know, if you're struggling with that, there really is no good reason why you can't find someone to talk about with those things now. There are so many, you know, Beyond Blue and Lifeline and so on. But if you are struggling, it could well be something that you would do well to talk with someone about right now. To the mums out there, I find it a little bit, I don't know if I have a right to speak as a dad, except to say that, you know, many of us men are completely hopeless and, a complete waste of space from time to time. But, and you know, we need to be called out when we are, because it's easy for men, for dads to take a bye and not contribute, not do their bit, and they need to be called out on it. But on the other side of it, I do think there's something about being a dad that is probably different than being a mum. Yeah. There's something within us that is different, and maybe if we could talk about it rather than fight about it or be disappointed in each other or something, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Because there's nothing to be gained by not trying to talk these things out together. And once again, just thank you to you two for what you are contributing. You know, your conversations, your tears, your laughter, all of these things are like oxygen for many people. So thank you for what you're doing. I know it must get tedious sometimes.
No, it doesn't
probably
actually.
Probably emotionally difficult sometimes too, would it be, to talk about some of these things?
No, I don't know. I think we understand in our own way, and I feel my life has been enriched by every single conversation.
Yep. And I think the more stories that are shared, the less burden I have.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
That's quite something. Mm. Well, keep doing it, ladies, because it's really good.
Thank you, Gary. And our plan is to try and get Christopher on too at some point.
Yeah, so, he'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll work out how to do that too so that he can tell us what a great dad you are too. So we will put in the show notes all the links to anything, all of Christopher's YouTube stuff. So everybody can find him, find you.
Yep.
And we'll put up some photos of him and you as well. Gorgeous.
Thank you. The simplest way to do it is to just go to YouTube, type in Christopher Hills. He comes up in one of the top responses, then click on his videos and you'll find them all.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Gary. I really appreciate your friendship, and thank you for always listening and being gracious to me and my story.
You guys are lovely. Thank you.
You're part of the P Tribe.
Yep,
you're in the hangout. Yep. People will love to talk to you and get your wisdom. So thank you for being
a beautiful, open man.
Oh,
it's just a refreshing balm to our souls.
It is. Thank you.
I'm just going to go and put some Ben Folds on.
Good. Yes. Enjoy it.
Okay. Bye, ladies.
Oh, what an awesome episode with Gary.
Oh, Gary, you melted all of our hearts.
I'm so glad you got to meet him, Kate.
Yeah, for sharing your honesty. And, yes.
I think the peas will love Gary and we'll be cheering him on. He's joined the hangout.
He has joined
so
the hangout.
So he is in there. So
I think he's No, there's two Garys in there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Well, I'll flag
avoid
him.
Avoid one and embrace the other.
No, he's a beautiful man, we've got a lot to learn from him and from the dads that are on their own.
Yeah, we really do.
Road less travelled, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And I just want to say the other Gary is Mandy's dad. I'm not being rude about anyone.
My uncle. Uncle Gary.
Sorry,
yeah.
Uncle.
Oh, funny.
He's not actually in there.
No, he's not in there. No.
Yeah. Okay, Mandy, this week.
What made you cry?
What made me cry this week was I was talking to Woody and he said something to me and he said, was that before or after lockdown, Mum?
Hmm.
And I said, oh, which lockdown?
Hmm.
He goes, well, I don't know when they start or end anymore.
Hmm.
And I just had a little cry and I thought, yeah, 15, 18 months of his life.
Yeah.
He doesn't know when, are we in it? Are we not in it? Are we, you know, so yeah, just it's, anyway, it's real. It's really, when I think back to being in year nine and sneaking cigarettes down the back of and
yes.
hooking up with boys, and I know his experience wouldn't be like that, please, but.
But he's not even getting a chance to have some mischief. There's no chance for them to practice any of that.
All those seminal moments.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's huge.
Oh.
I'm just so sad for the teenagers. I'm sad for everyone in their early 20s. Everyone I bump into in their early 20s, they look sad. Well, and this is a time of their life.
It is the time of their life. And as women we know, and I'm hoping it's going to change with each passing year, but as women we know, we often get lumped with a lot of the mental load and I just want to see my girls free
while
they can be.
Yes, and having terrific years.
Not sending me Snapchats from bed, you know.
Oh, it's awful, Kate.
Yeah, it's just, anyway, what made you cry?
Well, I didn't cry in the moment because I was just so sad, which sounds ridiculous.
No,
but
you
I cried
too sad to
about
cry.
2 days later.
Mm.
Millie was all packed to go to Central Australia on the Friday morning and, we went into lockdown at 5 p.m. on the Thursday.
Yeah.
I have no words. No. She still hasn't unpacked her bag. She said, oh, it's just because I'm lazy, not because I feel sad about it. I said, well, I'm sad and I'm not unpacking it for you.
Well, probably both.
Yeah, it has to be both.
I mean, we all hate unpacking. Everyone on the planet hates unpacking.
I mean, she did so well she had everything organised. We both did. We spent, and you know, you spend so much money
so
in the lead up
money.
Of like, you know, that she's bought a few new T-shirts and she's like, Mom, I spent all this money and I don't even know if I'll ever get to use it. You know, and the buses were already in South Australia, so there was this panic of like, maybe we could try and get them out. And there was all these like, you know, messages from all my friends trying to think, can we get them? Can we get them there?
No.
It just, that's the second camp for her cancelled the day before.
Mm.
It's just like this has to imprint them.
Oh, I just think we've
forever
completely. And
I will speak
as a Melburnian because I've realised that all of our lockdown experiences are different, so I don't want to try and project mine onto you. But as a Melburnian, I just think we've learnt, which I think is what's causing our depression and anxiety, to never believe that anything good's going to happen. And I don't mean that in a – I mean, I got cheesecake the other day, so good things happen, right? I mean that in a big planning picture, like – you know that we live for the snow and I'm so lucky that we went up for a couple of days the other week, but really probably won't get there, may not get there again this year. So all those things we're like, oh, well, that's probably not going to happen. And I think that's not good for your mental health.
No.
And these poor kids are growing up with that.
And I just want to say to all the psychologists out there that have ever said to me, you just need three things in your life, Mandy, someone to love, something to do and something to look forward to.
Yep.
You're going to have to come up with something new.
It's
gotta
be,
sorry.
It's got to be
You've
a couple
get
of different
together
things.
On a worldwide Zoom and all of you psychologists have got to come up with something fucking better than that. Because that's it. It's over.
It's over.
Right? We've got nothing to look forward to.
Nah, you know, we really, really don't. And I know there are people who'd like to be in our position.
That's right.
And I know
we're
that
being
I've got,
a bit facetious.
I've got ducted heating and I'm very, very grateful because it's freezing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's just a
bit of a joke, but, you know, but it's true.
It's just a really flat time.
Yeah, we're back to it. You're back to flat, Mandy and Kate.
And if you in other states are doing your Zoom quizzes and stuff, enjoy them because soon you won't be able to do them either.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
I can't ring anybody.
No.
I can't talk to anybody.
We can't talk to anybody.
I've got nothing to say.
Okay, let's move to what made a difference. Come
on. Well, I had a few things make a difference, but the biggest thing is I had my second Pfizer jab.
Yay.
It was the most uplifting, yes. amazing experience. So I went in Melbourne. We have the old exhibition buildings that are stunning.
Yeah, I'm going next week. Yep.
First state parliament, first Australian parliament, I think, was held there.
Oh, was it?
Oh, I could be lying now that you've said outside. Anyway, yeah, I think I don't it know. Was. Beautiful old building.
Room. Yeah.
Stunning.
Oh.
Hardly any queue. It was seamless. I went in and they were all so lovely.
Yes.
And they were like, first or second? I'm like, second. And they're like, second. Oh. And they're all like fist pumping. Obviously, we couldn't touch each other.
Yeah.
And then, this way, lovely.
I know.
This person said to me, and then this other person, I didn't have to queue. And then the nurse giving me the injection was so lovely. And he's like, your whole day is just going to be so much better because you have had your second jab.
Oh, wow.
You have protected the community.
Wow.
You've protected your. Yeah, it was like this pep talk.
Oh.
And then, you know, I sat on my little seat for 15 minutes. And then as you left, you could book to go left to book or go right. And they're like, you're going right. Oh. Woohoo, fully vaxxed.
Oh.
I don't know. I just felt. It was amazing there.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah,
it's going to be the outing of my life next week.
Yep, it was really good.
Oh, well done. Did you feel okay?
Yeah, sadly, I wanted to feel sicker. I know that sounds terrible. I just wanted a day off remote schooling.
And you were fine.
I had a little bit of a heavy head and I was a little bit tired, but I said to the guy giving me the needle, I said, look, I've got 5 kids and I have been hungover on Fireball. He goes, oh, this is nothing for you. You're not even going to. He goes, just take Nurofen and you'll be fine.
That's true.
And he was so right.
Oh, gosh. Damn you.
I know.
And your body's resilience.
Come on. What about you? What made a difference?
Well, it's not quite as life-changing, but beautiful Lisa from one of our first episodes, mm-hmm. she sent my family a fondue box from the Yarra Valley Chocolateries. Is that how you say it? The chocolate tree.
I don't know. It's a chocolate shop.
Chocolate, yeah. So if you know it out in Yarra
Glen.
Beautiful.
Google it if you don't
know it. Oh, my gosh. I was sitting out on my couch on the veranda because I was going to get rid of it because I had it out all last year so I could just sit outside.
Yeah.
It was like my own room, like a freezing cold room.
I've got, if you walk up my deck, which no one can because I can't come here, it's just a doona sitting on a chair. I just sit there.
Well, that's
by myself.
Me.
Yep.
Sit on that couch by myself. And then I saw this car come and I said, hi, thinking it was a friend. And then the lady got out with like the coloured hat and I was like, oh, hello.
It's a chef.
Yeah. So I said to the girls, we're going to save that and have that on Friday as our afternoon treat.
Good idea.
To another week of lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crisis school.
Oh, and I should mention. My beautiful cousin Amy from Coffs Harbour sent me this beautiful, I think it's called, I don't know, I'm not going to pretend that I can remember, but they're all vegan, gluten-free.
Yum.
Non-purified? No. What's the word for sugar? Amy will be like punching.
I know.
Refined. Non-refined sugar.
Okay.
Anyway, they were really, really yummy. And I was I could eat healthy if people gave me food like this all the time.
You didn't have to cook it. Yeah.
But it was really nice. She was like, I just can't believe you're back in lockdown. So
thank you.
Yeah. Send things to your friends in lockdown.
Yeah, send things to your friends.
I think it's massive.
Especially the peas.
Even a card.
Yeah. And even to the children.
Yeah.
You know?
Let them get something from the letterbox.
Yes.
Oh, fun. Yes. Sister-in-law dropped brownies off. She like squashed them in. I think that's fun.
I know, it's fun.
Yep. So anyway.
Okay, laugh. You go. Have you got a laugh?
Yep, I have got a laugh. So we all laughed a lot and some of you may not think that this is that funny, but we were in remote school and Buzz and Woody were like, the kids can all say how they're going with things. And this one boy goes, oh, I'm feeling a bit stressed. And Buzz goes, how is he stressed? He literally finishes everything before time. How can he have any stress? And then Woody goes, maybe he thinks coming first is stressful. Well, maybe he should try coming last and then first wouldn't stress him anymore.
That is the truth.
And we just all howled. And I was like, well, I'm not really teaching them to be supportive or empathetic to other people's stress.
No.
But for them in that moment, I was like.
They were the winners.
Yep. I was like, Anyway, we laughed a lot about how can you be stressed about coming first. And I know all you overachievers will be like, I'll tell you.
Just honestly.
But for us, it was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
I laughed at to take Millie back to her school to get her stuff out of her lockers. And at the same time, I got a text from Molly saying, I'm going to do school my way.
I did it my way.
And both we laughed. We just kept saying, I'm going to do my school my way. So, I mean, she's been super anxious about the Zooms and the little bits of work,
anxious.
But super anxious coming in at, you know, 6:48 a.m.
I know.
I don't want to do the Zooms. I don't want to do the Zooms. I don't want to do the Zooms. And I'm like, let's just talk about this in maybe 12 minutes.
I know.
Just let me get to 7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's something different happens at 7.
Yeah, but thankfully Amy's come back this week and she's been able to, she's done some fun. They cleaned her room together.
Oh, good.
I mean, support workers, thank you.
Yes.
So, yeah. And also Molly has the app called Wombo and she sends me these pictures
of
the dog dancing to a song or So if your kids need a bit of a fun app, you're probably all over it already, but Wombo is very fun. You just put in your photos from your iPad or your phone to a song and it moves your face.
They're very funny. I've been looking at them and they're very, very funny. Mandy sends them to me.
Yeah. Anyway, we've talked your head off.
We have.
Awesome episode.
I hope you really loved Gary. I hope you're all doing okay in lockdown. At the time of recording, half of Australia's in lockdown. Who knows what it'll be?
Oh.
I mean, we've just gone back to, I don't know. Yep. You know, next week we could be in Bali or we could be. We don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm joking, but we don't, you know, we don't know anymore.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.